Good morning, everybody. Will you turn with me to the Gospel of St. John, please? And I'd like to read John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. The day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. A multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Praise the Lord. I'd like this morning to talk a little bit about being at the back of the queue. Now, there are some queues that we don't mind being in. I'm sure that there were an awful lot of people down in Windsor yesterday that didn't mind being in a queue. Had gone there deliberately to get into a queue in order that they might see up personal and at first hand what was happening. And I suppose there are times when we are quite prepared to queue for things. But I'm talking this morning about the queues that we don't deliberately make a beeline for. Queues that happen that we get ourselves into at various times and in various situations in our lives. Now, queuing apparently is a British way of life. It's one of those quintessential British things. In fact, the Royal Mint has brought out some coins, hasn't it, with pictures, illustrations from A to Z of things that represent what it is to be British. And for queue, they've got a queue. So, in fact, it's a British way of life. It is estimated that in a normal lifetime, we'll spend about 5 years queuing. And we can queue in all sorts of situations and circumstances. We can even queue on the phone. Very, very easily. We dial a number, pick up the phone, and the voice says, "You are in a queue." And it's a beautiful sunny morning this morning. But at the bank holiday at the beginning of the month, it was equally warm and sunshiny. And I picked up the paper that I get, and I think it was on the Monday of the week that we'd had the glorious weekend. In fact, it wasn't bad on Monday. But apparently there was a three-hour queue on the M55 to get into Blackpool. And there was a picture in the paper of this woman in between two cars, lying on the motorway, on a blanket, sunbathing. She was determined to use the time that she was stuck in a queue to get some benefit from it. But you know, there are certain things that we don't like, and we don't like being in queues that we don't have to be in. And if we don't like being in queues, then we don't like seeing queue jumpers. Those people that don't obey the rules and somehow get to the front of the queue. But you know, queues can mean all sorts of things. They have all sorts of connotations. The idea of being at the back of the queue or at the front of the queue is often an indication of a hierarchy of entitlement. There are some people who expect to always to be at the front of the queue. There are some people that unfortunately always find themselves at the back of the queue. At the front of the queue, often those people who are advantaged. At the back of the queue, those people who are disadvantaged. And so it is. We hear and we see, don't we, often in our papers, a postcode lottery of healthcare. Where you live depends on what sort of treatment you might get, whether or not you're at the front of the queue, at the back of the queue, how long the queue is, if you're actually in the queue. And often those people at the back of the queue, because that's what I want to talk about this morning, being at the back of the queue, are often assumed as being less important, less deserving, less significant, and maybe less able. And they always seem to be at the back of the queue. Well, the guy that we read about in God's Word was at the back of the queue. No way of getting to the pool when the water was stirred. Then something happened. Jesus came. And when Jesus came, the back of the queue suddenly became the front of the queue. Because Jesus was there. And Jesus made the difference. Now, the man failed to recognize who Jesus was. He didn't know. Now, that seems strange, doesn't it? In this great city, with all the things that were happening, with all the stirrings that Jesus was causing, here was a man who had been a cripple for 38 years, who had gone daily, probably not for 38 years, but for a certain long time. And he was there, sitting at the back of the queue, on what was he assumed to be an ordinary day. But that ordinary day was to become an extraordinary day, because Jesus came and Jesus made the difference. And even though he didn't know who Jesus was, when Jesus asked him the question, "Do you want to be healed?" And when he made his excuses, Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." And instantly, in a moment of time, he must have known something had happened, because he took up his bed and walked, and he got into trouble for it. Because it was the Sabbath, and there were those that wanted to get onto him, to tell him off for carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. And he said, "Well, the guy that healed me told me to take up my bed and walk." And he didn't realize until he got into the temple that it was Jesus. And then he told them it was Jesus that told me to get up and take up my bed and walk. And so the back of the queue had become the front of the queue, because Jesus had come. And then we read, don't we, in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 34, the story of the woman with an issue of blood and Jairus' daughter. And here we have two classic examples of what I'm talking about. Now it says that Jesus was surrounded by a great crowd of people. And Jairus came along, and immediately he got access to the Lord, because he was a ruler in the temple. And this great crowd of people must have parted, because the word of God says that Jairus came and knelt before the feet of Jesus and explained the situation of his daughter, that she was near death and he needed Jesus to go and heal her. And so Jesus sets off. But at the back of the queue, someone perhaps we may have even forgot about, had not the Bible mentioned her, was the woman with an issue of blood. And she was now trying to get to Jesus, and he was moving away. She was playing catch-up. And had she not been determined, and had she not been intentionally desiring to get in close enough to Jesus to touch him, then nothing would have happened. But she got close enough. From the back of the queue, she pushed away. She had no money. She had no strength. She had only one hope, And that was to contact, to get in touch. If only I can touch the hem of his garment, she said, I will be healed. And struggling through this great queue, crowd of people that were moving away from her, she finally got to the point at which she could touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible says Jesus stopped. We know he was moving because the Bible says he stopped. And he looked around and he said, who touched me? And we know the story. She came out of the crowd and explained what had happened. Of course, he already knew. And then he said to her, daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. If she hadn't have been determined, if she hadn't have been intent on getting to Jesus, then the story would have been totally different. But she had to come from behind because she was at the back of the queue. And then in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, we have the story of the four friends who carried their friend to Jesus on a stretcher. Another guy that was paralyzed. And they got to the house where it was noised that Jesus was. And sure enough, when they got there, there was no way they could get in. The house was absolutely overcrowded. And people were outside, probably like the wedding yesterday. There were so many people inside and there were so many people outside in the grounds of the palace and there were so many people outside in the city itself, in the town of Winchester itself. And so they came. And they could have given up. Could have said, that's it. We've tried our best. We've made the journey. But they realized there was another way in. And they queue jumped. Do you realize that? They jumped the queue. Because the queue was so big, they got up onto the roof and they let the man down through the roof. And what did Jesus say to him? He said to him, son, your sins be forgiven you. And guess what? There were some Pharisees in there. Now, how did they get in? They were at the front of the queue. The Bible said they were sitting inside the house. So they made sure they got a good place, didn't they? They were sitting inside the house. And they started to say, who's this guy who thinks he can forgive sins? And Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he said, what's the easiest? To say your sins be forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say to this man, take up your bed and walk. And I'll tell you something, he got out of the house, not through the roof, but through a gap in the crowd. Why? Because something had happened. Something had changed. And Jesus had said to him and his friends, your faith has made you whole. And then finally we come to one guy, again, who we all know about. Again, who had been lame for so many years, sitting at the beautiful gate of the temple. And by this time, the queues had all gone. Jesus had been crucified. He was so far at the back of the queue that the queue had gone. But there had been queues. Every time Jesus walked into the temple, there were great queues of people that followed him. Every time Jesus went to speak, to preach. In fact, when this guy finally was healed by Peter and John, and he ran into the temple at Solomon's porch, which is the very place where Jesus taught, I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Now, I'm sure that when he ran into the temple, he didn't run round the temple for the best entrance. I guess that when he ran into the temple, he ran for the nearest place where he could get entrance into the temple. And that was Solomon's porch. It says in the Bible that they came to him at Solomon's porch, wondering what had happened, because they knew who he was. The man that had sat lame at the beautiful gate was now healed. And he told them the story. He may have thought that his opportunity had gone. He may have wondered when he'd watched the crowds and Jesus. Remember Bartimaeus? He couldn't see the crowds, but he heard that something was happening. And he shouted out, Son of God, have mercy on me. And the crowd told him to shut up. And Jesus said no. And he was healed. But that didn't happen to this man. This man must have thought all his opportunities had gone. He must have thought, that's it. I'm destined to be here seeking alms for the rest of my life. But that was not what God had intended. And so Peter and John coming or going up to the temple to pray said to him, look on us. And it's been said many times, and I'm sure it'll be said many times again. He asked for alms and God gave him legs. And into the temple he went, leaping and praising God. And we know that God, the word of God says that his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, who had never learned to walk, went running and leaping and praising God because something marvellous had been done. Peter and John got his attention, but God wanted to do something for that man. The thrilling reality this morning is that there are no queues with God. Doesn't matter what our situation is, doesn't matter what our circumstance is, we are never in a queue with God. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews that we have a bold access into his presence, any time, any place, anywhere. His grace makes his presence available to us. And we can come to the throne of grace any time, any place, anywhere. So let's summarize these incidents and let's see what, if anything, we can learn from them in our individual lives. First of all, the man that we read about. Remember? His excuse to Jesus was, when the water was stirred, I tried to get down into the pool. So he must have had some limited mobility. There must have been some function, although he was lame. Because he said quite plainly, I tried to get into the pool, but somebody always gets there first. And how often that's a reflection of us in a spiritual sense. You know, we try to do things with our limited mobility in our own strength. When were we to allow God to do it, it would be done just like that. We sometimes think that we've got the answer to every situation and circumstance, when in actual fact it's God who always has the answer to every situation and circumstance. And when we recognize and we are prepared to trust God, then we find that whatever our situation, whatever need we may find ourselves in, that need is always met. Then the woman who was playing catch up. Have you ever felt that you were playing catch up? Have you ever felt that you're coming from behind? Have you ever felt that you're so disadvantaged? It's going to be so difficult to get from God what you want. Well, let me tell you, it's not difficult. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when we come to God, we must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek. This woman was persistent. The single thing about her was a persistence. And if we are persistent with God, then God will give us whatever it is that we need. We have, each one of us here this morning, have as much of God as we want. The more that we desire, the more that we will receive. You'll find me, the Lord says, when you search for me with all your heart. Now, Sue, my wife, can't do much, but she's become an avid Googler. And anything that she needs to know, she'll Google. And she doesn't leave it to me because I can ask, if I ask one question and don't get the answer, I give up. But she can ask the same question 50 different ways until she gets an answer. A few weeks ago, we were having trouble with a boiler. And she said, I'll Google it and see what the problem is. And so I came back from church and she said to me, I came back from shopping and she said, I think I know the problem with the boiler. It could be one of two things. And we had the plumber around and it was one of two things. And I can remember, it's Pentecost Sunday, this Sunday morning. And I remember as a young Christian seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was the focus of my early Christian life. And at that time, we had something in our church that happened here a few weeks ago. Doesn't happen now, often in churches. We had missionaries. Missionaries who the church supported. And this missionary that came to our church as I was a young Christian had come from Africa. And he was talking about the intensity of desire these young Africans have for God. They were so thirsty for God that he said on one occasion he'd been preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, if you're really, really, really seeking God, if that's all you want, if your whole life depends upon it, then God will fill you with his Holy Spirit. And apparently this young man disappeared. Who used to come to the church disappeared. And he went off into the jungle and he made a vow to God. And he said, I'm going to go out into the jungle and I'm going to stay there until you fill me with the Holy Spirit. So intense was his desire. He didn't spend much time in the jungle. It wasn't long before he was back because God had given him his desire. And God gives us. The Word of God says he's not unlike human parents. If we ask for bread, he'll not give us a stone. But he will give the Holy Spirit for those that ask him. And if we are persistent, if we are persistent with God, like this woman, then we will get the desire of our heart. Then the friends who brought their friend to Jesus. Now the Bible says a lot about us and about our relationship one with another. This year is a very, very momentous year for our family. There are so many anniversaries and birthdays of significance. This year is our 50th wedding anniversary. This year Susan reaches her 70th birthday. She was saying the other day, I didn't want to get to 40, and now it's 70. David's 40. David and Natalie have been married for 20 years. Our oldest grandson is 21 this year. Our oldest granddaughter is 13 this year. And the significance of this is that she's 13 and they've been married for 20 years. And when they were first married, they were struggling to have children. And they had tried everything, they had done everything that they could do. And nothing, and it wasn't happening. And people in the church were praying. There were particularly and people who were particularly and specifically praying for David and Natalie in the church. And they were saying, look, God has shown us, God has shown me that you're going to have children. And one particular Mother's Day, they were so burdened with the fact that Natalie couldn't conceive, that they went on holiday. They went to the Dominican Republic to get away from Mother's Day. And they went into a church in the Dominican Republic. And guess what? It was a Mother's Day service. But more than that, there were three missionaries that had come over from America into this particular area to do a work. And one of the missionaries, one of the ladies, got up to sing. And when she'd finished singing, she gave a word of testimony. And she said that's the first time that she'd sung for several years. She'd used to sing, but she had lost a child. And the sorrow and the grief had taken the song from her heart. And yet she felt that God had told her she'd got to sing. Now this woman had a special ministry for praying for women who were barren, who couldn't conceive. And out of that great congregation, Natalie was chosen for prayer. They didn't know, but God knew. Yeah. And the mission and the lady that had prayed for her and the lady that sang said, in 3 months, you will be pregnant. Last Saturday, we celebrated Lydia's 13th birthday. So the Mother's Day of that year, she was 2 months from giving birth. They've now got 4. But the amazing thing is that when they finally announced it to the church, that the lady that had prayed for Natalie and said, God has shown me that you will have children, brought a diary. And in the diary, on the day that Natalie conceived, was the addition, Natalie is pregnant. We support one another in faith and in prayer. Jesus saw their faith and it was rewarded. And finally, the guy at the beautiful gate of the temple. How often do we think that we have missed our opportunities in God? How often do we think that we've blown it and our chances have gone? Perhaps not so much when we're young, but as we get older, as we grow older, and the likelihood of things happening seem to increase, or things not happening seem to increase, it's easy for us to write ourselves off. The world will write us off. Satan will write us off. We can sometimes write ourselves off. But the important thing to remember this morning is that God never writes us off. There is never a time, never a situation, when there is not opportunity for us with God. And we are never, ever, ever at the back of the queue. Because we always have Jesus, and he makes it every time, the front of the queue. Amen.